السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك. فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد: والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آله وسلم تسليما. My noble audience, for the last few weeks, by the grace of Allah Almighty, we have spoken about the likes of Hazrat Ali رضي الله تعالى عنه. I made mention that there was a Mubarak Majlis in which there were the most noble people present. And each person present presented his likes. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, he presented his likes that consisted of three things. By the grace of Allah Almighty, we highlighted the first two. And inshallah, we will shed light upon the third thing that Hazrat Ali liked from this dunya. حُبِّبَ إِلَيَّ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا ثَلَاثٌ. I like three things from this dunya as well. Number one, الْخِدْمَةُ لِلضَّيْفِ. وَالثَّانِي, number two, وَالصَّوْمُ بِالصَّيْفِ. And وَالثَّالِثِ, number three, وَالضَّرْبُ بِالسَّيْفِ. So the first was to take, to be very hospitable. Number two, to fast in the season when it is very, very hot. And number three, وَالضَّرْبُ بِالسَّيْفِ, to fight and to remove the enemies of Allah with the sword. This was something that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala liked from whatever was given to him in this dunya. I would like to shed light upon the third thing that Hazrat Ali used to like. Allah Almighty says in the glorious Quran that, and this is Surah Ali Imran, verse 92, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. So this is the opening verse of the fourth juz of the glorious Quran, in which Allah Almighty says you cannot attain birr. Now, one translation of birr is piety, taqwa. And the theologians have made another commentary to the word birr, and that is perfection in iman. So you cannot attain piety, taqwa, or you cannot attain perfection in faith unless you give that which is very dear to you. You give that in the path of Allah which is very, very dear to you. Now, indeed, people have various likes and dislikes. But when we study the Quran, that is the true representation of the inner emotions of a human being. The Quran stipulates two things that are very, very dear to every human being. In Surah Tawbah, Surah number 9, verse 111, Allah Almighty says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Verily Allah has purchased from the believers for the price that they from the believers their wealth, their properties, and أَنفُسَهُمْ, their lives, for the price that they shall be paradise. So in this verse, Allah has highlighted two things that are dear to every human being. May he be a believer, a non-believer, a good person or a bad person. First of all, he likes his own life. It is very, very dear to him. And secondly, he loves his properties, his possessions. But if we study the ranking of these two, we will come to know that life is greater respected than properties. When a person finds himself in the hospital, with a fatal sickness. The doctor says you have to spend $100,000 on medication. He will spend $100,000 to save his life. And that's why the order of the Quran is that first give your life, وَأَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ, and then your properties. So the order in itself indicates that life is much more dearer to a human being than his properties. Now these are two things that Allah has stipulated and put to the side that gives us an indication that these two things are very, very dear to a human being. Now let's go back to the statement of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, I like to remove the non-believers, or let me say the enemies of Allah. I'll use the word the enemies of Allah. Because not every non-believer is an enemy of Allah. Not every non-believer is the enemy of Allah. So there were many people in the time of Nabi Akram Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that did not accept Islam, but they were not the enemies of Islam. How can we say that Abu Talib is an enemy of Islam? He's a non-believer, but he's not an enemy of Islam. So we have to be very, very mindful when using the words. So we will say the enemies of Allah. I would like to remove the enemies of Allah. Now when a person finds himself confronted by the enemy of Allah, there's a high probability that he will lose his own life. So this statement has a subtle hint that I am not afraid of sacrificing the most profound commodity that I possess. I am not afraid to give my life in the path of Allah Almighty. So this is the meaning of وَالضَّرْبُ بِالسَّيْفِ. That if Allah demands that I give my life, I am ready to do that. And we find this statement being manifested in the life of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala many a times. I would like to draw the attention of my noble audience to one incident. Hazrat Ali is very, very young. The non-believers of Makkatul Mukarramah have decided to murder Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Na'udhu billah. Allah Almighty orders the Nabi of Allah to migrate. We all know the story. So Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he selects Hazrat Ali to sleep on his bed. Now the historians say that this bed was the bed of death. There was a high possibility, probability, that when the non-believers would enter the house, they will attack the person that is sleeping on the bed of Nabi Akram Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, assuming that he is the Nabi of Allah. So it was not an average bed, but death was hovering over that bed. But when Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ordered Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala to sleep on that bed, he did not hesitate. And after this incident, this ordeal came to an end. The Sahaba used to ask Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, can you tell us the most peaceful sleep that you had in your entire life? And he said, the most peaceful sleep in my entire life was on that bed when Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam appointed me. So think about it, if a person was to sleep on a bed knowing that there is a possibility at any time during the night people will come and they will attack, we could not fall asleep. We could not fall asleep. But Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, this was the best sleep in my life. Meaning that the fear of makhluq had been eradicated from his soul, from his mind, from his heart. And this is the meaning, the deep, deep meaning of what darbu bis saif, that I do not fear to find myself in combat because I am ready to give my life to please my Allah. May it be, Nabi Kareem Muhammad tells me to lie on the bed, I am ready to do that. And not only ready to do that, I will enjoy that sleep. I will enter into a deep slumber. And he entered a deep slumber. Now Allah Almighty in the glorious Quran, and this is very important, because when we study the statements of Sahaba, we study them superficially. So the youngsters, when they study this like of Hazrat Ali, they will say fighting. This is a superficial understanding of this statement, fighting. Fighting is very easy. That is not hard. Fighting is very easy. One person, he finds himself in front of his enemy and he punches him to the ground, but it's very easy. The Nabi of Allah says, لَيْسَ الشَّدِيدُ بِسُرْعَةٍ إِنَّمَا الشَّدِيدُ الَّذِي يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ الْغَضَبِ. To express your inner emotions, that is the easy path. But to control your emotions and to regulate them and to be in control demands great endeavor. Once a person can do that, then he is going to attain accolades and distinctions. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and in this statement, he has made it very, very clear that my heart is so pure that it has no atom of fear. I was reading a statement of one of the great scholars in modern time, Maulana Sajjad Nomani, Damat Barakatuhum, and he says something amazing that I never thought of it like this, and most probably you haven't as well. But he said that, look, La ilaha illallah, there is none worthy of worship but Allah Almighty. Is this a statement of information? Think about it. When we say La ilaha illallah, that there is none worthy of worship but Allah, is this a statement of information? No. This is a statement of relationship. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah is not a statement of information. I'm giving you information that there is none worthy of worship but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. This is our ta'alluq. It is our relationship that there is none worthy of worship but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. This is our ta'alluq with Allah and the Rasul. So La ilaha illallah and the various meanings of La ilaha illallah cannot be attained by a believer until, unless he eradicates khawf. Because one of the meanings of La ilaha illallah, La mukhawf illallah, we do not fear anyone except Allah Almighty. And that's why in Surah An'am, verse 162, what does Allah Almighty say? قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. That, O Nabi of Allah, make this statement that verily my salah, my prayer, wa nusuki, and my sacrifice. Now this can be the sacrifice of an animal, and this can be the normal sacrifice during the day, during the night, to please Allah Almighty. We can extend the borders of nusuki. We can take one meaning, and that is sacrifice. And we can expand the borders of nusuki and make it inclusive to all kinds of sacrifice and all levels of sacrifice. Wa mahyaya, and my life and my death, lillah, is for Allah Almighty. If Allah tells me that I should do this right now, I am oblivious to what my mind tells me. I do not activate my mind when the order of Allah Almighty descends. I will fulfill the command of Allah Almighty. Now I'm going to add to this something that I believe is very, very important. Very important. This eradication of fear and this beautification of the soul and the heart with a very profound ta'alluq with Allah Almighty that has been manifested by the profound personalities of Islam. And this profound personality is inclusive to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, cannot be acquired unless a person makes an effort and the right effort. An effort and the right effort. And I give an example because examples, you know, they resonate with us. When we pump weights, or we go to the gym to shed calories, the trainer says that you can't have a meal and then jump onto the treadmill. You can't have a meal and jump on the treadmill. So much so that you can't have a meal and jump into the ocean. True. There's an order. Jumping on the treadmill or pumping weights is good for human body, but your stomach should be empty. And swimming in the ocean is very, very good. It is healthy for the human body, but you can't fill your stomach before doing that. Likewise, there are certain conditions that have to be met to beautify this soul. There are certain steps to be taken. The order has to be correct as well. Now let me draw your attention to something. One of the greatest achievements of this entire group, and I am alluding to the Sahaba, that is inclusive to the person that we are discussing, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an. The greatest contribution is not that they took over countries. No. Taking over countries, liberation is easy. That's only the first step. Let's talk about my country. Let's talk about countries in Asia. May it be Pakistan. May it be Bangladesh. May it be India. May it be any Muslim country that has been liberated. How many people died in partition of Pakistan? How many Muslims died? They dreamt that this will be a Muslim country. And people will live a life of Islam. It was a dream of so many. So many people sacrificed their honor. So many sisters were raped in that partition. One of our scholars, maybe 40, 50 years ago, he traveled to India and he was walking down the street and there was a lady who slapped him across the face. He was an alim, great sheikh. Slapped him across the face, said, "Where are you? I'm a Muslim married to a Sikh. I'm waiting for Muslims to come to rescue me." Slapped him across the face. What sacrifice? What sacrifice in an Afghanistan to bring Islam? Liberation is easy. That is not hard. You and me can stand up and liberate a country. But what is hard is to fulfill the promises that are made at the time of freedom. Pakistan is made on La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. This was the statement. Has it been fulfilled? To fulfill the promise, this is the task. This is the achievement. Taking over is not an achievement. Achievement is to fulfill the promise that is made at the time of liberation. And we will see that nations have failed in that. Sahaba passed there. They passed. And you know why they passed? Because before entertaining this thought that I will liberate a country from the tyranny, from the zulm, from the oppression, they had eradicated tyranny from their soul. They had eradicated zulm from their own soul. We want to take over, but we have not even taken over ourselves. We have not even taken care of ourselves. We have no control over our own emotions. How can we bring justice to the world? Then me give you one or two incidents, and then we'll return back to the topic. Same topic. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was the wazir, the advisor of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. He was sitting with Hazrat Umar. And one person came into the court of Hazrat Umar. Now this was the tenure of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And he said, "Ya Amirul Mu'mineen, assist me against a person. I need adl to be established." So Hazrat Umar says, "Against who?" And he looked towards Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. He said, "Against Hazrat Ali." So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an straight away switched to the next mode. He said, "Oh Abu al-Hasan, stand up and sit with this person. Oh Abu al-Hasan, stand up, sit with this person. He has a claim against you." So of course the person was lying. So after Adl was established, Adl was established. And I'll say it the third time, Adl was established. And I want you to focus upon the word Adl. Adl was established. The person left. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala and came back to his normal position besides Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Umar, he knows the rank of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. He knew the rank of Hazrat Ali. When the Sahaba migrated from Makkah to Medina, one of the first works of Nabi Akrim was to unite the brothers, the Ansar with the Muhajir. There was no one left for Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. He started to cry. He said, "Ya Rasulullah, you have given every Ansari a Muhajir brother, every Muhajir brother, Ansari brother, but what about me?" And he started to cry. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "I'm your brother. I left myself for you." Kya ta'alluq? What ta'alluq between Hazrat Ali and Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Hazrat Umar knew this. No one will give his most beloved daughter to a person that he does not like. It means it was a selection from amongst all the Sahaba. And he found Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an to be the husband of his daughter Fatima. Hazrat Umar knew this. Many people nowadays, through distorted versions of history, they try to prove that there is no love between the Sahaba. This is a mistake in itself. There was tremendous respect and love between the Sahaba. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala looked at Hazrat Ali and he found that Hazrat Ali was not very happy. He didn't look very happy from the face. Facial expressions were such that it seemed like Hazrat Ali was very, very upset. Now Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, he addressed Hazrat Ali. He said, Are you happy or unhappy? And Hazrat Ali said, "I'm very unhappy." He said, "I'm very unhappy." Now Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, "Is there anything that I did that was wrong?" And then before he could respond, he said, "Look, I had to do this. Because this is the system of Islam, this is adl. This is adl." Hazrat Ali said, "You have not fulfilled the adl. You have not fulfilled adl." So what do you mean? He said that when this person came, and he said that I have a charge against Ali, you said, "Oh Abu al-Hasan, stand up and sit there. Why did you call me by my nickname? You should have called me by my name. Calling me by my nickname is giving me preference over him, and this is not adl. That's why I'm unhappy." Allahu Akbar. Where are you going to find people like this? Hazrat Umar stood up, he hugged him, he kissed him, and he said, "You have guided me, I would have been destroyed." Appreciation from both sides. Islam did not spread because of might and because the Sahaba were great warriors. They were warriors that had destroyed their inner selves. You cannot become a perfect believer, as the Nabi of Allah says. Imam Baghawi in Sharh Sunnah, he makes mention on the strength of Abdullah bin Amr radiallahu ta'ala, "La yu'minu ahadukum hatta yakuna hawahu taba'an lima jitu bih." You cannot attain perfection in iman until you make subject your desires. You make your desires subject to that which I have brought. We're going to do this, we're going to do that. We need to be here, we need to be there. You need to be here. You don't need to be there, you don't need to be there. You need to be here. You need to be in control here. Then you see what happens. Then you see what happens. Then you see the revolution. One person can't control his own body, his own nafs, his own emotions. And he's talking about the world. The Nabi of Allah says you cannot attain perfection in iman. And all our success revolves around iman until you make your desire subject to that which I have brought. Let me tell you another amazing story. Once Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, his son Hazrat Hassan and his servant Qambar, they were traveling together. So en route, they stopped. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, we'll go in our own directions, in the distance, and we will respond to the call of nature, and then we will return back. So, the first to return back, that was in the distance, was Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala, followed by Qambar. And now what happened is, they found that the armor of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, the shield of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala, was being stolen by one person. So he left it beside the commute, and there was a person that was stealing it and running off. So Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala and the servant ran after him, and they caught him. In one riwayat, they caught him. In another riwayat, they did not catch him. So anyway, they came back to the city and they found the person walking with that shield. When Hazrat Ali found that there's this person, he's walking with the shield, he went to the Qadi of the time, whose name was Qazi Shuraih Rahimahullah, and he said that I want to place a complaint, lodge a complaint, that there's such and such person that has stolen my shield. So he was walking in the city. So he was summoned. He stood in front of Qazi Shuraih. The same protocol was followed, that Hazrat Ali was standing and this thief was standing on one line. There was no seat given to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And keep in mind, this was the tenure of Hazrat Ali. He was the Khalifa. He was the Khalif of the time. Qazi Shuraih is a Qadi of the time, a judge. Anyway, the Muqaddimah starts, and Hazrat Shuraih, rahimahullah, he says, do you have any witness that this is yours? Because Hazrat Ali said, look, this is my shield. He said, do you have any witness? He says, yes. He said, Hassan is my witness. He said, this cannot be accepted. Hassan cannot be accepted as your witness because he's your son. Conflict of interest. He said, anyone else as your witness? He says, yes, the servant. He said, the servant can't be your witness as well. Conflict of interest. So, you have anything else to say? He says, no, I've got no other witness. Now, Qazi Shuraih knows that Hazrat Ali is speaking the truth. He knows. He knew that Hazrat Ali was speaking the truth, but the judgment was made in the favor of the other person. So he walks out with the shield. He walks out with the shield. And he's waiting outside. The audacity of the person is waiting outside. Hazrat Ali is the Khalif of the time, the king of the time. You try this in our Muslim countries. That will be the final day that you will see in this dunya. You will not see the sunset. Literally, you will not see the sunset. He's waiting outside. And when Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala passes him, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala says to him, you know that you have lied. Now Hazrat Ali thought in his mind that he is afraid now, because I'm the Khalif. I will take revenge outside the court. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala says to him, look, you know that you have lied, and I'm the Khalif, but the judgment has been made. This shield belongs to you. I give it to you. It's yours now. Don't worry about it. Straight away that person, he starts to cry. And he says to Ali radiallahu ta'ala an that I am a Jewish rabbi. And I studied in my books that there will be a Khalif of Islam, that an average person will take him to his court, defeat him in the court, but he will have no resentment. I wanted to see, because you are the fourth Khalif, I wanted to see that if this is a reality, and can I be that person that will be summoned by the judge of the time against the Khalif. And I have found that it is true. He accepted Islam right there. He kissed Hazrat Ali on the forehead and he said to Hazrat Ali, "This is your shield." Hazrat Ali said, "No, now this belongs to you. Yeah, because now you have become a Muslim. Now I give it to you as my friend." Our leaders, when are we going to wake up? They have never ever experienced hunger. Our leaders have never ever experienced hunger. How are they going to know the feelings of their people? Think about it. Forget about a country. Think about yourself in your house. We're talking about domestic violence nowadays. I don't believe it is prevalent in our community. And we're not going to jump on the bandwagon that Muslims are like this. No. But we find that we do disrespect the authority that Allah gives us. I'm not talking about domestic violence. We don't make mashwara. It is my way or the highway. I don't give time. I become upset on minor issues. And my kingdom is 400 square meters. That is not even owned by me. I'm paying it off. But I can't even control myself in my own home. And we don't have to speak about the organizations, the Muslim organizations. What's happening in the Muslim organizations? What corruption? Muslim organizations throughout the world. What corruption? What abuse of power? And these are small organizations. You go to small organizations and you won't believe the politics that is played. Small organizations throughout the world. I remember when I went to America to lead Tarawih many, many years ago. There was an election of the masjid and Allahu Akbar. For 1 week, the politics that was being played there. Dawat's khanas at one's house and this and that, call and blah, blah, blah. For one masjid. It is like a White House. It's like they're going to run the politics of the entire country. What is the politic? The politics is going to affect only 300 people. The congregation is 300 people. We can't even control ourselves in our own home. We can't control this nafs. Bayezid Bustami rahimahullah, he once was inspired. He, in his dream, he spoke and he said, "Ya Allah, how can I reach you? What is the shortcut to you?" This is in Ruhul Bayan. "What is the shortcut to you?" And the response was, "Da' nafsaka wa ta'al. Da' nafsaka wa ta'al. Trample over your base self and come to me." That's why Hazrat Bayezid Bustami rahimahullah used to say there are two steps to Jannah. Two steps to Jannah. First step on your nafs, second step in Jannah. We want to step everywhere else in people's problems, in his problem, but we're not stepping where we should be stepping. We want to step in that country, that theater, that theater. And you can read between the lines what I'm saying. But we're not stepping where we should be stepping. What does Allah say in Surah Naziat? Surah 79. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. The two special marks that Allah has stipulated. And these are the special marks of the inmates of Jannah. First, the one that fears to stand in front of Allah on the Day of Judgment, and the second one, أَهَنَّ نَفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. The one that restrains his inner self, his nafs. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Jannat is his abode. I'm going to ask myself, and I ask you, should we be stepping on this nafs? What is the method? I ask you. Have you ever thought about it? Is it reading Quran? By reading Quran, are you stepping on your nafs? Many people read Quran, they walk outside, they start to lie. Many people in this masjid, they pray in that masjid, they pray in that masjid, they pray, they go outside and they start to fight. So is salah giving you the ability to restrain yourself? Is the reading of the Quran giving you the ability to restrain yourself? Fasting giving you the ability to restrain yourself? No, there's another method, there's another institution that we do not even know. I can go in the path of Allah myself, seek knowledge. How many people in the world that are knowledgeable, that study, they're in the path of Allah, but they commit crimes? The most heinous crimes. Where is that ability going to come that we restrain this nafs? How is the statement of Bayezid Bustami going to be accomplished? Da' nafsaka. My observation in 20 years is, the more righteous, the lower akhlaq he has. The more righteous in the community, the one that is considered to be the most righteous, the minimum salam he will give. Let me give you an example, demonstration. This is my observation, and I'm not making this up. The more righteous the person is, he drops down. This is his posture now. No salam to anyone. No smile on his face. Islam will be super smiling. Give you the tip of his fingers. One handshake. This one handshake in itself is kibr. This is an Aussie salam. This is an indication of kibr. Islamic salam is two hands. This is aji. This is tawadu, humbleness. What kind of salam is this? What did the Nabi of Allah say? When you give salam, it removes kibr. Al-badi bis-salam, al-badi bis-salam, bari'un min al-kibr. The one that initiates salam, it removes kibr. It removes your sins. It removes your arrogance. You tell me, with this style, are you going to remove arrogance? Salam, mate. Kahan sa kibr jayega? And then people in the Muslim Ummah, I don't know where they get the time, they start to debate amongst this, one hand or two hands. This is bid'ah, this is not bid'ah, this is shirk, this makes you something. This. The more righteous we become, this is my observation, you look at yourselves, you are going to be analyzed based upon how you treat people. I can't see how you treat Allah. I can't see that. I don't know what you do in the night. You can't see what I do in the night. I may be sitting there becoming very pious. You don't know what I do in my home. What is my treatment? What is my ta'alluq? What is my relationship with Allah? I will only judge you based upon the apparent. You will judge me based upon the apparent. Let's make our zahir the symbol of success. Let's conquer and defeat this before we talk the big talk. Let's step where we should be stepping, on this nafs. When you step on this nafs, a revolution takes life. It takes place in your life. Everything will change. Everything will start to become compatible with the sharia, the method, the mode, the style that the Nabi of Allah left behind. Anyone who claims that he's doing the right thing, but it's not compatible with the mizaj. And let me tell you something, and I'm going to conclude on this. I will ask you a question. What is the mizaj? Mizaj. Now there's a person, his mizaj is he's very hot-headed. Temperament. One person very soft. What is the mizaj of Islam? What is the mizaj of Islam? If we were to study Islam as a nutshell, what is the mizaj? I'm going to give you the answer, you and you can ponder over it. The Quran starts, the Quran is the mizaj of Islam. The Quran is the mizaj of Islam. And the Quran starts with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar Rahmanir Rahim. The opening chapter starts with Ar Rahmanir Rahim, but that was not sufficient. It had to be beautified with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Two Rahmans and two Rahims. To give us an understanding, this is the mizaj of Islam. Where is that Rahm, my noble brothers? Where is that Rahm in the Ummah of Nabi Kareem Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? We are the flag bearers of that Rahm. How many stories I can relate to this? We do not have time. Upon the Rahm of the Nabi of Allah, the Rahm of the Khulafai Rashidun. Can you see a better example of Rahm that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala displayed to that person? He could have done whatever he wanted, but no. The Rahm, this inside was defeated. This Ana Khairum Min. What did the Satan say? Why was he destroyed? Why did he become accursed? What was the word that started the journey of his destruction? Qala Ana. Ana Ma. Ana Khair. I am better. Oh, I'm Akia. What am I? What are you? Ana. I am better. This Ana, if it's not eradicated, you will always remain in that theatre of Ana, that is a theatre of destruction, because this is the theatre of the devil. This is what destroyed him. Allah Rabbul Izzah, give us tawfiq to understand what I'm saying. Allah Rabbul Izzah, allow us to adorn ourselves and try to find out what is the path that will lead you and give you the ability to restrain your nafs. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Shadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka.